Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Timber Living Log Cabins. For your perfect workspace, living space or hideaway, timberliving.ie.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
Fashion can be a great window on the absurdity of the world and the absurdity of rich people, right? So there's a story in The Guardian today that Balenciaga are putting a towel skirt in their spring-summer 2024 collection, right? So it's a unisex terry cotton beige towel skirt, just a towel with a belt, buttons and an embroidered logo. Now available to pre-order for £695. And Rich Pelly, the writer, says, and by the way, it's dry clean only. Brilliant. So he decides he can turn a £15 ultra-soft cotton caramel bath towel into a designer towel skirt. And he wraps it around his waist. He's pleased to say that he's a standard bathroom fit, too big for a hand towel, too small for a bath sheet. And then off he goes. So he heads around the place and he talks to various experts, right? So he says there's something beguiling about the towel. This is a fashion view of it. The image of its wearer, newly showered and perfumed. So he talks to one stylist, Becky Leeson. It's a layering look I love, a skirt over a trouser jean. And she's suggesting you do it with your own towel. It's certainly a way of repurposing what we own already. And with all the wet weather, it serves as a dual purpose. Harry, a designer, says to visually embody a garment, you need an iconic body to wear it. That's his view on the towel. So then the writer Rich Pelly goes and gate crashes a Grayson Perry launch. You know, the artist. Grayson Perry has the last word in it here. It's just another ridiculous thing rich people would buy. The appeal is that it's ludicrous. The key is to be two notches less dignified than everybody else in the room. There's also a guy traded in Australia, and the headline on his piece is, at least now I have somewhere to wipe my hands, which is true. Now, the colder weather often coincides with the pitter-patter of tiny feet around your house. Not cute little human feet, something a little bit furrier. So I'm joined on the line now from Derry by Patricia Page of Northwest Pest Control, a.k.a. the Rat Woman. Hi, Patricia.
Good afternoon, Brian. How are you?
Are you okay with that, the Rat Woman, yeah?
The Rat Woman. Very proud of it.
Okay. Now, Patricia, you say you've never known a season like it for mice and rats.
I haven't. And I know kind of the papers run with this every year. It's going to be exceptional and super rats and mice and things like this. But I'm in this job now over 30 years. My colleague and technical manager, Michael, is with us over 40 years. And we were just discussing this last week that we have never experienced an influx of calls regarding rats and mice so early on into the winter season. And I got to the stage that we had a implemented cancellation list. The calls were coming in that bad and the cancellation list was up to 10 days. And even though we said to people, you know, try maybe somewhere else, they wanted they stay. But thankfully, we're getting on top of that now. I've got the boys working a couple of hours on Saturdays now to get on top of that. But I've never seen anything like it.
Why is it so bad this year?
I think it's a couple of things. I think we've kind of created a perfect storm. We didn't have a half bad summer up until July, I think, when I think it rained nearly every frigging day. And that destroyed some crops. So if you've got good feeding, you'll have good breeding. And then come the winter time, then you've got these guys trying to move on. Plus the amount of heavy rain and flooding that we've had recently are driving the likes of rats up out of drains and mice up out of the fields and ditches and things like that.
Stop.
So they're going for shelter and stuff. So it's kind of like we've created a perfect storm.
So the rats out of the drains into our houses. Is it mostly mice in houses or rats too?
We've found a huge increase in rat activity. Now, mice calls are coming in, surely to God, but we've found a good increase in rat activity this autumn, this winter.
And how does a rat get into the house? Is it if you leave a door open or something?
Rats can go in open doors, but they tend to run in open doors if they're under threat by a predator. They don't like being trapped in. So if a rat goes in an open door and you happen to close the door behind you, he'll become quite distressed and try to get out as quickly as he can. So we would suggest to people like that, you know, keep the door open, a rat will run back out again. 9 times out of 10 he does. Rats have to have their own way in, like I said, so there has to be a fault somewhere in the structure of your property, either above ground around the house or below ground through faults in the drainage system. Those are the main areas where rats would take entry into your property.
And then once a rat or indeed a mouse is in, how do they get around the house? Like, can they climb and jump and stuff? Ugh.
They can indeed. They're very good climbers and very good jumpers. The rat itself is a very good swimmer, believe it or not. So once they get access to your house, they can run the cavity of that house and they can go wherever they choose. Now, for mice, the main areas that we would find mice once they have access to the cavity would be under sink units in your kitchen or your utility rooms, up in your hot presses, especially if you've got oil heating, and in the attic. They're the three main areas. With rats, the main area that we would find them would be in the attic, but we have found them in kitchens as well. They have to come down for food.
And if you don't see a mouse or a rat, what are the kind of obvious signs that you have a mice or a rat in the house?
Well, mice have more obvious signs. They can drop anything up to an adult mouse can drop anything up to 80 droppings in a 24-hour period. So you would see plenty of mouse droppings. In your food cupboards, you may see things have been gnawed, the likes of biscuits or cereals or things like that. Rats are very good at stealing potatoes. You may go and find potatoes missing or maybe potatoes gnawed. A lot of people put the potatoes maybe in a basket under a sink unit or in the utility room. But rats and mice are basically everything. The greatest giveaway is noise. You'll hear them running on the attic. You'll hear them scurrying about at night. They're mainly nocturnal.
And you know what? If they're going into the kitchen, into the cereal, into the potatoes and stuff like that, are they spreading disease everywhere they go, Patricia?
They can do. They can spread disease, but it takes maybe quite a larger infestation to create a disease. But they carry the disease in the urine. Mice especially are incontinent, so when they're moving about, they're piddling all the time. And then when you come down in the morning, you know, you pop a couple of slices of toast in the toaster and you put it on the worktop. You're buttering your toast and you're not aware that you've got a mouse problem. Yeah, you could end up with the likes of salmonella or listeria.
Okay, I'm puking in my mouth right here. You know, we hear about super rats, super mice, and mainly in fairness on the dailymail.co.uk, but are they getting bigger?
You see, I think that the term super rats and super mice is kind of taken out of context. It's actually, I think, referring to the likes, especially within the UK, of rodenticide resistance in rats. A lot of them have become immune to the rodenticides that people are using, so they don't get killed. So they get the moniker then super rats. Same applies to mice. Thankfully over here, I don't think we have any resistance as of yet. I don't think there's anything recorded. But, sorry,
okay. Listen, so, question here from Brian. I have a mouse in my attic I just can't catch. I've laid traps, he just doesn't go near them. Any advice, welcome. So, in terms of advice, if we start with traps, what kind of traps am I using? What's the most humane type? Where am I putting them?
Well, you can, for people that don't like to kill them, which is very understandable, you can buy the live capture and release, but don't take the mouse 2-3 miles away and release them, because at the end of the day, mice live in nice little family groups, and if you get a single mouse and you take them away and you release them in an area that he's not familiar with, and there's dominant mice in that area, that wee guy is not going to survive very long. So ideally, what you need to do before releasing that wee mouse, if you think you've got mice in, take a walk around the property. See if you can find any areas where they're getting in and proof it. Once you catch the wee mouse then, sure to go release him back outside where he was. Now, in regards to breakneck traps, you've got the standard wooden traps that you get, and there's a little loop in them that you have to say it, put the bar in, and it's very, very fine. That can be difficult for most people to set. I find the best traps in the market now are the little, what I call self-setters, beg your pardon, where you push them down at the back. And then that, there's a little well that you can put the bait, a wee bit of peanut butter or Nutella or something like that. When people aren't catching mice in the attics, it's usually due to the fact that they've over-baited the traps. So the mice are coming along and feeding and the traps aren't going off.
Okay.
So try to minimise the amount of bait that you put in the trap. Remember, you only want to attract the rat or the mouse to the trap. You don't want to feed them.
And then at what point do I need to call the rat woman then? When do I know my own interventions aren't working?
Well, to be fair, anybody that phones me, I would try and encourage them. I'll never become a millionaire in pest control. I will always try and help them help themselves before they call us out.
Right.
But we get a lot of people that are terrified. So if they see mouse droppers and stuff like that, the first thing they'll do is phone me and they go, oh, no, don't tell me what to do. I need you to come out. So we do. Mice and rats, both of them are prolific breeders. So what you don't want is they let an infestation get out of control. If you see a wee mouse and think, oh, it's only a wee mouse, will run back out again. 9 times out of 10, if a house mouse is in your house, it's not going to go back out. Sometimes wee mice will come on and go back out again. But you could have a lot of mice in a very short period of time.
How many in how long?
Well, mice can breed every 3 weeks. And once the female rat drops, or mice drops a litter, they can breed again. So, and theoretically, in optimum conditions, which will never happen in your house, of course, 2 mice can have anything up to 5,000 in a year if they're left alone.
Whoa, okay.
But that's theoretical. You know, there's no way that anyone who lives in a home is going to let it get to that, you know.
So Patricia, before you go, what's your one key piece of advice for everyone?
The one key piece of advice for everyone is to check around their homes, first and foremost. If you have rats, especially out in the garden, try and move the bird tables. A lot of people are feeding the birds at this time of year, and unfortunately, they end up feeding the rats and mice as well. Rats need 3 things to survive: their food, their shelter, and water. Take 2 of those away, and the rats will move somewhere else. But check your house. If you can fit a pen or a pencil into a wee hole, seal it up. Try your best to proof your house this season, and you'll stop these little larvings running and prevent the pitter-patter tiny feet, especially when you're going up for the Christmas decorations.
Patricia Page, the Rat Woman. Absolutely outstanding. Thank you so much, Patricia.